Hey, hey, local legends. Hope you're having a great week. Welcome to the Why We Run podcast, hosted by me, John Barnes. This week, our tale from the pack comes from Andy Stewart. We'll be discussing ultras, DNFs, and the dreaded Dragon's Back. For now, this is his reason.
If I go back to my teens and my early 20s, John, I played an awful lot of rugby. So I considered myself back then as a fit individual, probably playing four, five, six times a week. But then I got into my 20s and my fitness dropped off. I then went to live and work in France in 96. Loved the people, carried on socialising, met my wife in 98. And it was actually in 1998 that I saw the Marathon des Sables on Canal Plus for the first time. And Canal Plus at the time, they ran an hour-long show each evening, just with the events of the day. And I was just totally taken by this event. I think this is incredible. The event is incredible. The people are incredible. And I never imagined myself actually one day taking part. And then that Christmas, we had gone to see my brother who lived in Sydney at the time. And I caught a reflection of myself walking down a shopping mall in Sydney. And I saw my gut, which was just enormous. And I thought, right, this is a sanity check moment here. Do you know what I mean? I was a little bit ashamed of myself. Jumped on the scales, 106 kilos, 5 feet 10. That's not how you want to be, really. So I decided to sign up for the Marathon du Mont-Saint-Michel, which is Cancale and actually ends up on the Mont-Saint-Michel. It's a fabulous route, very flat. That was, I think it was June, July that year. So I trained for that, died, well, died's the wrong expression, but the last 6 or 7 miles were hellish. But I finished it 4:21, but I was chuffed to bits. I went back to actually do the race again the following year, a little bit slower, but I did finish it. And then I just carried on kind of jogging, really. We'd moved back to the UK, and every year when the MDS is on in April, I talk about the MDS. And one year, my wife just said to me, listen, you've either got to do it or just stop talking about it. So I took that as a tacit approval to spend your £3,000+, whatever it was, and I signed up immediately. And back then, there was quite a long wait list. There was a 3-year wait list. I actually did the MDS in 2011, and that was the start of my ultra-running journey, really, John. You fast forward till, crikey, lockdown, June 2020, 4 o'clock in the morning, I had an epileptic seizure in my sleep, woke my wife up. I was obviously oblivious to it all, but I was in the middle of a run streak at the time. Paramedics were awesome, came in, even with the COVID, took us to hospital, got great treatment at neurology at Southmead Hospital, tested me out, etc. Had a little room. I carried on my run streak, so I checked out the nurse. She said, yeah, as long as you don't fall over, we don't mind. So I just ran around my room and cocked for a mile to keep the streak going. And I found the running was really important for me because it was my normality. You know, something that just horrific, shocking had just happened. You know, I thought I was invincible. I was an ultra runner and suddenly I'm an epileptic. You think, wow, you know, there's a bit of getting your head around that. Carried on my run streak. But then in July, so 1 month later, I was bitten by a tick and contracted Lyme's disease. It was a summer of weird health, really. The Lyme's was much more debilitating than epilepsy. Epilepsy is just a condition. The Lyme's absolutely shattered, did my 3 weeks of antibiotics. I then fasted for 3 days because the bacteria, I bred tons up as I could in 3 weeks, feeds off sugar. Yeah, and then you have Lyme's disease. It doesn't suddenly go away. The bacteria actually goes to points of inflammation. Lo and behold, I didn't know at the time, but I had early onset osteoarthritis in my right hip and the Lyme's went from my hip, which was actually a blessing with hindsight because you read horror stories where Lyme's goes into people's brains. They never work again and they're kind of knocked out as people. For me, it was on the hip. Went to see a specialist who specializes in runners and who loves runners and loves running for hips. Professor Alistair Hart, superstar. April the following year, I had an MRI scan and there was no soft tissue at all on the hip. I had to stop my run streak at day 425. And then in June of that year, I had my hip replaced. But the running throughout all these health issues has kind of kept me on the straight and narrow, bit of a true north, really. I meticulously followed Prof Hart's team's recovery advice. So 12 weeks post-op, did my first run walk. That was middle of June, I had the op. November was Druid's Challenge. 85 miles, 3 days with extreme energy. And I walked the course, I marked the course. And then in May, so that's 11 months post-op, I did my first, it wasn't an ultra, it was 29 and a half miles, a long marathon, Race of Tides, which was probably the most joyful runs I've ever done, to be honest with you. Amazing. Running has kept me through highs and lows and whatever through life, really.
That's great, Andy. Such a powerful reason. So let's jump in then. We're going to go back before the running started. What changed in your 20s to stop playing rugby?
Real world stuff, life stuff, partner, fun, getting getting out in life, working, earning cash, going out and about, too much drink, wasn't conducive really to being fit as such. Yeah, the fitness rules came off in that respect.
How did this impact you? This suddenly, I guess, the responsibilities that kicked in with life, did it affect your confidence not having rugby in your world? I'm a rugby boy as well. I know what injuries do with rugby when you stop playing. And for me, it always hit me really mentally when I stopped getting out of that team environment. Did you feel that at the time?
I don't think I missed that part. I was annoyed with myself. I was very lucky in that I played for Somerset Colts and I got through to final trial for the South West, but didn't progress any further. But that kind of rankled with me a little bit. Do you know what I mean? So I kind of had unfinished sporting business in my mind. And I was a bit disappointed that I hadn't driven my rugby through, really. And I was probably ready to look for something else. But it probably took 10 years to come around.
So we'll go those 10 years. You've noted the special event being the Marathon de Sable and seeing that on TV in 1998.
Yeah.
What was it that dragged you into that?
Even now, when I watch the event, you are self-sufficient for 6 days. You're in the desert. It is mind-blowing. The geography is mind-blowing. The conditions are mind-blowing. I watched Cracknell's documentary the week before going out to the desert. The rush from the army truck to the bivouac to get your tent, you know, it's a bit of a free fall. The whole thing is just so different to anything I'd experienced before. It just grabbed my imagination.
And then you decide to sign up to this challenge. So you've got the Marathon de Bonne Saint-Michel. That's quite a big step, so straight up for a marathon. What were your biggest fears and who were the influences that made you feel that it was achievable?
At that time, I wasn't being coached. There weren't too many external influences. It was mostly in my head. I was overweight, quite a lot overweight. If you remember, I was 106 kilos at Christmas. So I'd lost some of it. I managed to get under 100, but that's heavy for a marathon. Influences, just reading about the MDS, really. Reading running magazines. There wasn't much online back then, don't forget, late 90s. Yeah, I just kind of found my way, made loads of mistakes in my training. But hey, that's all part of the journey.
Can you expand a bit on the training then? So to training for these events and completing these events, how is that structured and how has it helped you mentally and physically, I guess?
I think my structure at the start was very, very poor. I'd read a few books, but I was traveling a lot with work. So I was just trying to fit in a few short runs in the week. I was doing no cross training. And basically on a Sunday with a hangover, I'd disappear for 4 hours along the canal, run for 2 hours, turn around and come back again. Wasn't very sophisticated, John, is the truth. Later on, once I moved back to the UK, I did more research, did a lot more ultras, being a bit more intelligent with how I approached my running, did a lot more cross trainings for weights, and that made a huge difference. But in the early days, it was, just determination, really.
What advice would you give looking back to any people looking to start their journey and sign up for an event for the first time?
Just talk to some people who've done it and just get some advice because you can save yourself a whole load of pain and you may make progress an awful lot quicker. I mean, if you want to get the coach, awesome, but at least talk to people who've done what you want to do so you can try and shortcut mistakes, really.
Did you ever have a fear of failure signing up to any events that you might not be able to make it to the finish line? Did that ever impact you or were you more focused on the process itself?
I always believed I'd finished the marathon. My logic was if other people can do it, I can do it. Whether it's right or wrong, that was the way I felt about the challenge. The ultras is a different bag, I think, because they're asking so much more of us physically. I've had quite a few DNFs in my running career and you just have to take it on the chin, learn what you learn and move on and give it another go. I mean, one of my favourite all-time events is Ring of Fire, running around circumnavigating Anglesey. But I had 2 DNFs before I finished that third time round.
How have you treated the DNFs? I mean, you won't speak to any ultra runner that hasn't had a DNF. I've now done 4 ultras and my first one was a DNF. What would you give to advice to people again here where they might have had a DNF in one of their first events due to whatever reason, how to get up after that and keep progressing and taking on the challenges?
For me, because I've had quite a few, DNFs are part of ultra running. And for me, if pushing ourselves really to the extremities of our limits, you're going to have DNFs. That's part of the game. And just remember why, as runners, we decided to get into this ultra game in the first place. We've all got our own good reasons, I imagine. Whatever those reasons were still exist, so just hang on to them.
And looking at those reasons, if you look back, do you think you would have ever signed up for the Marathon de Sable without the prompt from your wife?
I wanted to do it, but it was a lot of cash. We weren't awash with cash at the time. I definitely needed her approval. The desire in my head was clear. I wanted to do it, and I was convinced I was going to do it at some point.
It seems to be quite a common trait. I definitely resonate with it. A few people I've spoken to exactly the same. The first big challenge they end up doing, they'll talk about for a long time, but it does require a little kick from a partner to actually go and sign up for it. If we look at your weekly training plan at the moment and in the past when you've been going into events, how does that look like for you now that you're a lot more experienced here? You know what your body can do. How do you structure that?
I'm just about to start a training block now. I've signed up for Dragon's Back in September. So I've had it fairly easy for the start of the year. I've been running every week, cross-training every week. I had COVID back in October, so I just wanted to give myself a bit of a gentle run back into exercise, as it were. But now I'm training short, sharp runs in the week, trying to get the heart rate up. I've got a row machine here in my office, so I row 2 or 3 times a week. I have a watt bike upstairs, which I've not been using, but I'll be back onto that fairly seriously shortly. So 2 or 3 runs in the week, a good bit of cross training in the week, and then back-to-back runs at the weekend. That's the mainstay of my training, John.
So the Dragon's Back is something that hugely interests me. For all of the ultra runners, they'll know exactly what it entails. For people new to ultra running that might not have heard the event before, can you give a quick summary of what you'll be going through in September, it is, right?
Yeah, September the 4th. So you start in Conwy Castle. Touchwood, you get as far as Cardiff Castle. So you're running the backbone of Wales, 380 kilometres. I think it's give or take 20,000 metres of elevation over 6 days, tented at night. You're self-navigating the day. My navigation's poor, so I'll be relying on my GPX watch. Yeah, and it's an awful long way. And obviously, I'll be 2 years and a bit on my new hip, so that'll be the biggest test for me now.
Just need to find someone to follow, right? Someone that you can trust with the directions.
Yeah, right, I should be keeping an eagle eye out for somebody who seems to know where they're going.
And looking at the training, do you enjoy the training itself, or is it a means to get to an event?
I'm lucky. I love the training. Training for me is my breast buster, where I do all my thinking, my rumination, pondering, come up with 1 or 2 ideas. If something's annoying me, it's generally not annoying me by the time I get back. Yeah, running is a mainstay of how I am as a person, if you like.
And you alluded to in your mid-20s, when you stop playing sport, you have additional responsibilities come into your life. How do you balance your work and home life now with all the training, particularly for the Dragon's Back, which will require a huge amount of training coming up?
Yeah, luckily my wife and kids are awesome and very, very patient. Luckily, I'm an early morning bird, so I'll get up at 5 and train generally early in the morning. The rest of the house doesn't tend to get up so early, so that gives me a nice chunk of time at the weekend there. They know it's important for me and they're brilliantly supportive, so I'm very lucky in that respect.
Let's touch on the streak then that you had. So 425 days, incredible time period of going out every day. How far were you running and what started that process?
I've got a friend of mine, Giacomo, who is a fantastic runner, and I think his streaks will cuss me for not knowing this. It's give or take 10 years, right? So I followed Gio on Strava. I thought, you should give that a go one day. And then, I just started whenever it was, 2019, I think it was. I thought, right, let's just go for it. I found that the fact that I was running every day, it helps you make better lifestyle choices. You drink a bit less, you eat a little bit more healthily. Do you mean because you've got something else to do in your life? It's not just work, play. Do you mean that gives you a different focus? That was really beneficial. So much so that last summer, actually, you know, I've always liked to drink. You talk to any ultra runner, the vast majority of ultra runners will love a beer at the end of an event. But I actually stopped drinking last summer just to try and step up my fitness a little bit further. The running's important.
And distance-wise, during the streak, how far were you going each day?
So in the streak, I was average. Well, during lockdown, I was doing about 50 miles a week, which is the highest mileage I've ever done. I would tend to have ran about 35 a week prior to COVID. You know, but we're at home, there's nothing else to do, so I'd get up early and go for a run every day. It was great. But 35 miles a week would be a typical training week for me.
And how did your body adapt to going every day? Any injuries along the route?
No, touch wood. I found actually I had fewer injuries because I was running every day. I have a step board here in my office as well. Stretch off before, stretch off afterwards, and job done.
Particularly for me, when I started running, I never stretched, right? I just go out and run and then find things I eat and wonder why that was. Do you see a real benefit to stretching?
100%. I found post my hip op, I didn't see a physio for a year. I went to see a couple, but they think you're nuts running on a new hip. But the new hip is there to run on. So I was given a very good recovery plan by the hospital team. So I ducked that for a year, but then I found I was very, very stiff on that right side. So I did go and see a really good physio, Claire here in Clevedon, and given me some brilliant exercises, and it's improved my running no end. And I didn't realise how important stretching is just for blood flow to your joints. So I would wholeheartedly recommend every runner to stretch.
Yeah, it's something that I need to do. I've tried to like note it into my daily diary just to force myself to be accountable to at least do like 10 minutes of stretch in a day. It's really helped me through some of the events recently. So following the seizure and the Lyme's disease, do you have a fear in any of the events that you've signed up to since that you could push your body too far?
Not push your body too far, in as much as most ultra runners, you know, I've hallucinated on events, and I should suppose in a way is pushing your body too far, but that's all part of the event, isn't it? So not pushing your body too far. The only fear I have is I am diagnosed with epilepsy. It is under control, but hey, who knows? Day one of Dragon's Back is Crib Goch. You certainly wouldn't want a seizure up on top of Crib Goch. So yeah, there are a few things to take into account when you approach these events.
And when it's windy and cold outside, what do you need to get you out the door?
Oh no, I'm gone. We live here on the Bristol Channel. So if it's windy and cold, you know, we're 500 yards from the seafront and it is blustery, it's wet, it's windy. That's great. It's just the old runner and dog walkers. Yeah, I love those quiet times. And I think those cold winter mornings, I know we're coming into spring now, but that's really when you set the foundation for your running for the season, I always think. Anybody who's out and about running and it's cold, wet and horrible, you've got what it takes to finish your event.
That's great. And you mentioned the Ring of Fire. You mentioned one of your favourite events. I'm guessing Marathon du Sable is up there. Are there any other favourite events that you'd recommend people look at?
I love Centurion South Downs Way 100. I mean, that is just the most fabulous route. And the South Downs are just beautiful. Extreme Energy's Drew's Challenge is fantastic. Great camaraderie over 3 days. A lot of NDS people as well. There's quite a buzz around the whole event. Those are the standout events for me. But honestly, the toughest was the Ring of Fire. I'd say that was even harder than the Marathon du Sable.
So the Ring of Fire you did 3 times. I'm really curious here. Tell me about the first time you went, get into, I don't know, learn the course, DNF there. You go back the second time, another DNF. Then you go the third time and you finally finish it. I mean, that sounds like a whole journey in itself. What were some of the key lessons you learned throughout those events?
Oh, yeah, good question. The first time I was running with a guy, it was night. I think it was the first year of the event, actually. And we got stuck on a beach at high tide and we didn't have the wherewithal between us to figure out how to get back onto a path. So that was kind of put down to luck. The truth is, though, we're probably so far back that we got stuck on the high tide. So if we'd been a bit smarter, a bit faster, we wouldn't have got stuck on the tide. So that was that one. Second time round, well, day two of the Ring of Fire is a really long day, 68 miles. So you kind of go up to, I think it's Penland Point, and you come all the way down the coast, under the two bridges. Yeah, that's the long day. I just run out of steam, end off. So for the third event, I decided at Christmas I'd stop drinking. So I didn't drink from New Year's Eve until the event, which was early September. Dropped a load of weight. So I was down at kind of 84 kilos or 85 kilos, which is, I'd consider that my racing weight, if you know what I mean. And that made a huge difference.
Last question, we've touched on it already, but any key piece of advice, again, people new to running or people training, we're going into marathon season now, the summer season with lots of ultras. What are your key one or two bits of advice that you could give to people?
Talk to as many people as you can, John, honestly. So if you've got your eye on an event, you've entered an event, get onto a chat group, a forum, and just learn about the event so that you can go into this thing with your eyes wide open, tried all your kit, you've tried all your food, you've tried your hydration. And when you rock up to the start line, nothing's going to be a surprise to you.
That trying the kit's a really important piece of advice that I learned early on. Just from, again, talking to people. First few events I did, I bought some recommended kit, turned up on the day and thought, right, this will be fine. You then realise like your backpack doesn't fit properly. Getting the water in and out of the holders is an absolute nightmare. You can't get your food in the back parts of your backpack. It's, I'd fully endorse that. If you don't want to waste a lot of time and energy on the day, baffled, stressed. Andy, this has been fascinating. Thank you so much for your time for myself and all the listeners. Before you go, I've got a number of just quick fire questions for you just to wrap up.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, so trail or road?
Trail.
Wind or rain?
Rain.
I thought you might say both. Hot or cold?
Hot.
Uphill or downhill?
Uphill.
Music or nature?
Nature.
Group or solo?
I'm a miserable kid, solo.
And the last and most important question, cake or sweets?
Okay.
That's lovely. Amazing stuff. Thank you so much, Andy, for your time today.
And local legends, if you enjoyed the podcast, please give us a like or follow on whatever platform you listen to. We'll be back next week with another inspiring tale from the pack. Happy trails all.